1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. We're preaching through 1 Peter. It's hard to believe we're almost through with this book. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud." Wow. That alone ought to make us want to be anything but. And yet, don't we all struggle with it? If there's a message, you don't have to worry if anybody needs it. This is the message. We all need it. "God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Let's pray. Father, I pray and plead that You'd allow the Holy Ghost now to do what I can't. And Lord, I don't ask it because I deserve it, but I ask it because of Your mercy and because of the need. And I desire to help Your people. And I pray now that You will be honored and glorified. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I normally would not stop with verse 6. There's a colon at the end of that verse. But it's pretty obvious from verse 5 and 6 what we must preach on, teach on today if we're going to be true to the text. Now in the first four verses, Peter addressed pastors, elders, who are to take oversight. That's what it says there in verse 2. And by the way, those elders are to be in submission to the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as though we are the under-shepherd and He is the chief shepherd. And so in verse 5, it starts with the word "likewise." And it might seem pretty obvious, but for me it was a little bit difficult to see exactly why Peter uses that word here. He's going to talk about submission in a different context. And no doubt, there is no question about this, when he says in verse 5, "submit yourselves unto the elder," that word "elder" there is not the same as the word "elder" in verse 1. It's just too clear. Here in this verse, he's talking about someone who is older. Sometimes elder means pastor, bishop. Sometimes it means someone who is older. We used to say, "respect your elders." That was somebody older than you. Let me just say this, simply put, Justice Eddy ought to have a submissive spirit with Sam Torrance. Is that reasonable? He ought to just, matter of fact, he ought to have a submissive spirit with Brother Ron. For two reasons. I'm his pastor and he's an elder. Three reasons. His daddy tells him to. Amen. Would it be safe for me to say, based on the Word of God, that Luke Dillon ought to have a submissive spirit with Brother Otis? I could go a step farther and say Isaac or Brandon or Paul Burns ought to have a submissive spirit with Brother Connie Galat. You simply ought to act a certain way toward your elders. That's not complicated. That's not difficult. That's just reality. And there's a lot more to that than we realize. The prophecy of Isaiah 3 says a day will come when the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. I think we are there. When the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. When two adults are talking, kids, don't walk in between them. Stop until they recognize you or say, "Sirs, could you excuse me, please?" That's fair, isn't it? Respecting the elders. But notice in our text, verse 5 and 6, it's too obvious what we've got to preach on today. Notice in verse 5, "submit yourselves." In the middle of the verse, "be subject." Then, "be clothed with humility, and God resisteth the proud." Listen. The Bible says He gives grace to the humble. The Bible says, "humble yourselves." You think that Peter thinks we need a lesson on humility? Yes, sir. They needed the lesson on humility. That's who he's addressing, the crowd of his day. Do you get the idea that humility is a pretty big deal? Pride is a serious problem. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to notice something in verse 6. Humble yourselves. Verse 7, casting all your care. And verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Then, because your adversary, the devil. Please hear me out, especially young folks. One of the surest paths, one of the surest roads to defeat and misery and losing the favor of God on your life is pride and self-sufficiency and self-exaltation. The refusal to submit to the authority God places over you will lead in disaster. Mark it down. You want to go down, you want to be defeated, you want to lose the battle, then don't submit to people God places over you. You'll lose. You can just guarantee it. It's not a very difficult subject. It's easy. It's obvious. There's nothing complex about it. The only thing that's going to make today's message difficult is we don't like it because we're proud. The subject of humility versus pride is so vitally important. It's so broad. It is so prevalent throughout the Word of God that there is no way to package it all into one Sunday morning sermon. There's just no way to do this justice. So I'm going to try it this way this morning. I'm going to ask five questions from this text. Number one, who is doing the talking? Number two, who is he talking to? Number three, exactly what is he saying? Number four, why did he say it? And number five, why should you do it? I'm going to answer those five questions. The first one is, who is doing the talking? Who is actually promoting submission and humility here? His name is Simon Peter, who one time took Jesus Christ aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Right? I'm talking about the one when Jesus said, here's the way it's going to be, that Peter said, Jesus, come here. No, am I getting this right, guys? That's what Simon Peter did to the Son of God who wrote the book. Who is doing the talking? Simon Peter, who said to Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee. Not me. I'll go all the way with you. You can count on me. Simon Peter, who said, you ain't going to wash my feet. Right? Jesus gets over there, stoops down, going to wash his feet. He says, you ain't washing mine. Listen, you got problems when you start giving orders to Jesus Christ. And telling him what he's not going to do and what he is going to do. We're talking about the one who did the talking in 1 Peter. He's the one that said, hey, let me walk out there on the water. Which has been forever portrayed as a great act of faith when it was nothing more than rebellion. And look at me. And if you disagree with that one, just skip that one. Let's go to the next one. The one who spoke many times when he should have kept his mouth shut. He's on the Mount of Transfiguration. He sort of wakes up, still got sleep in his eyes, and says, hey, man, let's build three tabernacles right here. And the Holy Spirit says, not knowing what he said. That's Simon Peter. And in 1 Peter 5, it's easy for me to imagine Peter saying to the crowd of his day, trust me, fellas, I know what I'm talking about. Humility's a lot better off. Being submissive is the right way. Humble yourselves. Because pride's no good. Pride and self-esteem and self-confidence leads to humility. Or may I say humiliation and disaster. Sometimes God has to humiliate somebody. And you can study the relation to the word humble. So it's Simon Peter who certainly learned the lesson on humility. Next question. Who is he talking to? Well, this is one of those times where it's real clear that he's singling out someone in particular. The younger. He says, likewise, ye younger. I like it when he makes it that clear. You don't have to wonder who he's talking to. So, let me say this. There's a reason he's talking to the younger. Generally speaking, the younger simply don't know as much as the older. Young people, listen to me. That means you ought to submit to somebody that's older and wiser than you and had more experience than you. And I could say because they're smarter than you, but I'd rather say it a little different because you're dumber than them. You say, I don't like that. That's because you got too much pride. You're not as smart as your parents. You say, about what? Anything. That ought to be your approach. It really should. That ought to be your attitude. He's talking to the younger. In Job, Elihu said in essence, I kept my mouth shut a long time because I'm young and you're old. Matter of fact, he said, ye are very old. He said, I've sat here and listened to y'all and listened to y'all and listened to y'all. And the only reason I could keep my mouth shut is because I'm young. Oh, would to God some of you would learn from Elihu. To keep your mouth shut because you're younger and don't know as much. Maybe there's a second reason Peter is singling out the younger, and I'm just wording it a little bit different, really. They know so little, they don't know that they know so little. You can know so little, you don't know how stupid you are. See, I don't like that word. I've got to use strong words for proud people. And we are it. We're a mess. We're full of ourselves. In plainer words, the young often think they know more than they really do because they are full of themselves. And we were young once and fought it too. Listen to me, young people. The reason you ought to submit is because you ought to know that you know less. That's not hard. Blake, the reason... How old are you, Blake? 11. The reason you ought to submit to your daddy is because you ought to know that you don't know as much as he knows. That's clear, isn't it? You understand that? I know you do. But wait till you're 14. You won't understand it anymore. Is that not about the way it goes? Owen, how old are you? The reason you ought to submit to Brother Lee is because you ought to know at 13 that you don't know as much as he knows. Got that? Okay, the challenge is in about 2 more years. You'll end up like Taylor. Now, folks, y'all know this is the truth, isn't it? Peter says to the younger, now it might be that he's talking to 30-year-olds who are younger than the 50-year-olds, but younger people simply need to know they don't know as much as the older. Amen. That's not difficult. But oh my, yours, young people, is the day of entitlements and rights, and it's all about me. And as I get around, I watch the younger. I watch the way they walk into the church house, blowing bubbles and looking like, you can start now, I'm here. I watch the way they plop down on a pew, letting everybody know this is not where I chose to be. I watch the way they walk across a parking lot in front of vehicles, almost daring somebody to run over them. Y'all know those big markers in front of the stores now where pedestrians are supposed to be and you've got to stop for all pedestrians? I don't like those. I think y'all just stop because you got common sense. And I think the pedestrian ought to have to stop and look because not everybody's got common sense. But boy, now they'll walk in front of you. Have I got it?
Yeah, that's it.
They ain't going to slow down. They're not going to stop. And they're sure not going to look because that ain't cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
full of pride. I watch young people. I watch them break rules in church and out of church with a "who do you think you are" spirit. Teenagers, hear me out. Don't fall into the devil's trap of pride and arrogance, because it will lead to disaster. He wants you to think you're above the rules. You know more than anybody else. You're God's gift to America, and everybody ought to cater to you. That is Satan's trap. And you're better than that. Don't let him trap you. Peter specifically speaks to the younger, but notice in verse 5, he hastens to say, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." That's what it says in Ephesians 5:21, right before it says for wives to submit to their husbands. All of us need a submissive spirit. All of us need a spirit of humility. We like it when it says, "Wives, submit." We like it when it says, "Children, obey." We like it when it says to the saints, "Obey them that have the rule over you." But Romans 12 says, "In honor, preferring one another." Philippians chapter 2 says that each esteem other better than themselves. Let me tell you about Cornerstone 1991. When God decided to start a church with a bunch of nobodies who knew they were nobodies, and blessed us before we began to thinking we were somebody. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the core group of people that God used to help start Cornerstone Baptist Church were a group of men and women who just wanted to do something for God. They understood that there had to be a chain of command. They were just people that were willing to roll up their sleeves and do what they were told, and nobody had a look at me spirit about them. And saints, if we lose our friendliness at Cornerstone, if we lose our camaraderie, if we lose the good spirit our church has had for 27, 28 years, if we lose that attitude of "I'm just happy to be at church today," it'll likely be due to pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Doesn't matter who gets the credit. The Lord gets it. I'm just telling you, God blessed me with a bunch of good men and women 28 years ago who just wanted to roll up their sleeves and go to work for God. And we've got to maintain that attitude. In our day, I don't think we hear as much in other churches, and sometimes even around here, we don't hear as much brother, sister, sir, ma'am, mister, missus. I'm actually meeting families now where the kids call daddy by his first name. If you're doing that, you're wrong. All of us need a spirit of humility. And all of us who are in a position of authority, whether it's a parent, a teacher, a pastor, a business owner, or a boss, let me tell you something. You can rule and teach and lead even your children with a spirit of humility. Yes, they are supposed to be humble, but so are you. The passage for the pastor here is don't lord over them. But some people in authority want to make sure everybody knows who's in charge. And you can do that with a sense of pride and arrogance, and God's not going to bless it. Are we okay today to admit that we all struggle with this thing? Yes. Our stinking flesh will get us in trouble because we're so full of ourselves and we're so full of pride. And let's just be honest. The real problem is we think too much of ourselves. I read a story about Ulysses S. Grant. He was going to a reception in his honor. And as he got closer to the building, the story said it started raining. People were coming together under the umbrella of whoever had one, and there was a stranger walking beside Ulysses S. Grant going to reception in Grant's honor. And this man didn't recognize that it was Ulysses S. Grant. And he said, "I have never seen," he said to Grant, "I have never seen Grant, But I've always thought that he was a very much overrated man. Grant replied, "That's my view as well." Boy, most of us would stiffen up, wouldn't we? You don't even know him. Somebody said humility believes the truth about yourself. Pride believes the lie about yourself. I think this is so profound, I wished I'd have said it. There is nothing more awful than conscious humility. It is the most satanic type of pride. I literally knew a man that every single time, I am not making it up, I've told you about it before, would stand up to give a testimony and start out with, "I'm just proud to say I'm a humble man." Every time he stood up, I had to grit my teeth to keep my mouth shut. "I'm so proud I'm a humble man." See, some people think humble is poor. Or they think humble is an act of how you have to act to be humble. Acting humble is not humility. Somebody said most people don't want constructive criticism and cannot handle constructive praise. We battle pride. The third question that I want to ask with our text in view is exactly what is Peter saying? I want you to notice that he says, "Submit yourselves unto the elder, yea," and he defines submission himself, "all of you be subject." If you don't know what submission means, it means to be in subjection, to be subject to someone. 1 Timothy 3:4 talks about the pastor who should have his children in subjection. Hebrews 2:8 says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." So I think we know what it means to be subject or to submit. You're under someone. I'll give you an updated modern English synonym. Just do as you're told. We don't like that, do we? Be in subjection, submit to, do as you're told. Modern Americans, young and old, in our self-esteem, entitlement culture, don't want anybody telling us what to do. Listen, I was preaching in church, Rhonda, and we were there in Fort Worth, Texas. We were sitting on the first or second pew. We always sit down close to the front. There's about 1,700 people in the building that night. Leonard Ravenhill was preaching. I've never forgotten it. That was one of the greatest weeks of my life. I sat and listened to that man open up the Word of God, and God just was on that guy. He was a special man. He was preaching about, I don't know, second or third night. Might have been the first night, but I don't think so. But Leonard Ravenhill rarely raised his voice. And when he did what I'm about to tell you, he didn't raise his voice. But he'd been preaching a few minutes. You could hear a pin drop. Everybody was hanging on every word. And all of a sudden, he stopped, looked up. We're talking about a huge, huge sanctuary, 1,700 people. And he points and he says, "Hey, you blondie on the back pew." We're talking about heaven and hell, spiritual stuff, eternity. Either sit down and pay attention or get out. It's the only time I've ever heard a man did that I knew that God was in it. But now, you can't get away with that. It's a different world. That was about 1983, 1984. I mean, I'm telling you, even as a lost guy, when I went to church, man, one time, either my brother reached over and untied my shoe. We're sitting in church. I was probably, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. Or I reached over and one of us did something to the other one, and we started giggling. Man, my brother-in-law, David Bratcher's daddy, whew, we stopped real fast. But nowadays, you tell kids to do something, not do something, you can't do it. They look at you like, "Who in the world do you think you are?" Am I telling it right? Peter is talking about being in subjection to the authority that God places over you. I'm asking the question, what exactly is Peter saying? He says, be clothed with humility. He says, humble yourselves. You and I tend to think that humility cannot be taught, or either you have it or you don't have it, but according to the Bible, you can choose to be humble. You can choose humility. Colossians says that we are to put on humbleness of mind. I want to show you a passage in Philippians chapter 2. You're familiar with this passage. Please turn over there real quick for Philippians chapter 2. Not real quick because I'm in a hurry, but you are. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. And get Luke chapter 2. And then Genesis 16. And that'll be more Bible than some of you read in a month. All right, let's start with Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself," notice the terminology, "made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man," what are the next three words? He humbled himself. Can you do that? According to the Bible, you can. God would not command you to do it if it was an impossibility. You can humble yourself. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Jesus humbled himself. And then that word subjection, the Bible says in verse 51, "And he went down with them." This is Jesus with Joseph and Mary. "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." Did I read it right? Subject to Joseph? That ain't even his real father. Some of you want to say, "Well, I'm not in submission to them because you don't know how they are." I don't remember that being part of the rules. Jesus humbled himself and was in subjection to Joseph and Mary. I'll never forget years and years ago going through A Route, Alabama. Back in those days, you blinked, you missed it. And I stopped at this store and there's T-shirts all over the place. It's hard to be humble when you're from A Route. Well, then how hard would it be to be humble when you're from heaven? From heaven! Here is the perfect son submitting to imperfect parents. And you're to follow his lead. Look at Genesis chapter 16, verse 4. I find this story, how long could we stay in this text right here all day? Just another example of something you might want to think about as you pray about how God would have you to submit and to be in subjection. "And he went in unto Hagar." This is Abraham and Hagar, of course. And of course he did this because it was Sarah's idea, right? Was it Sarah's idea? "He went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee." Wow. How would you have responded? I've taught this so many different ways, it's scary. 1,000 options here go through my mind. But it was her idea, wasn't it? And I've wondered, is she right? Yeah, she's right. Abraham's in charge. "Husbands, your wife's wrong be upon thee." You think about that. That's not really what I want to show you. It says in verse 5, "I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her," man, I wouldn't want to know how she treated her. The Bible says here, "Hagar, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou and whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah." How many of you would have fled? Ladies, would you want to spend any time with Sarai? After all that's gone on, verse 9, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit. That's the first reference for the word submit in all your Bible. Listen, it's real simple. Submission wouldn't be a problem if it was easy. I just don't think I ought to submit. It's too hard. Nobody said it'd be easy. You're to have a submissive spirit. That's all there is to it. Let's get to the fourth question. Why did Peter say these things? Why is Peter talking to the crowd in 1 Peter chapter 5, going over this lesson, this mandate on submission and subjection and humility and pride? Let me remind you, these folks are going through some real trials. They're going through some suffering. Peter's already talked to them about being submissive to civic authority. He's already talked to them about being submissive to their masters. He's already talked to the ladies about being submissive to their husbands. He's already said to the younger, be submissive to the elder. But clearly, if you can read the text very clearly at all through the 4 and 5 chapters, there's some whining and complaining going on. And Peter knows that there's an attitude of we deserve better than this. Most of us think we deserve better than we've got it. And we whine and complain and murmur about our lot in life. Usually, kids, a lot of times the reason you complain is you're not happy with what you've got. You're discontented when you ought to be more contented than anybody in America. Peter is dealing with saints who are suffering and have started evidently whining about it. And then there are hints throughout 1 Peter that they were beginning to take their frustrations out on each other. Can I tell you that people who are proud have a tendency to blame others and belittle others? But the text really gives the main reason Peter says these things. My question is, why did Peter say these things? And it really gets us to our fifth question. Why did he say these things? And why should we do what he says? Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Right, then he tells them why. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. In this anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible world, we're going to need God. I hope you know that. As these days go by and socialism and communism and liberalism and an anti-Bible culture that is against everything we stand for gets more and more ground in this country, we're going to need God. We're going to need His presence. We're going to need His protection. We're going to need His power. We're going to need His grace. We're going to need His favor. We're going to need His blessings. And the Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse 15, God dwells with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why was Satan kicked out of the third heaven? Why? Pride. And he's the father over all the children of pride. He's the king over all the children of pride. Why should we do what Peter says? Why should we submit and be subject one to another? Why should we be clothed with humility and humble ourselves? Because God resisteth the proud. You want God's blessings. You want God's favor. You need to get a hold of this. I need to get a hold of this. Think about it. You can memorize half the Bible. You can get your doctrine straight, never miss church, give to mission, sing like an angel, and be so full of pride God will not come near you. I don't want that. I don't want... Maybe that's why our prayers don't get any farther than they do. Maybe we think we deserve what we're asking for. I hope you feel like I do. I thank God He has not rewarded me according to my iniquities. I really am. People kid me about it when I say, how you doing better than I deserve? That's my heart. My worst day, I've got it better than I deserve. I took my 72-year-old sister out to lunch the other day. My sister reminded me of some of those things and what I came out of. Can I tell you, when I say I've got it better than I deserve, it's not a cliche. It's not just something that sounds cute. I'm living the dream. I've got it good. I'm blessed beyond measure, but I don't deserve it. God gave me a great wife when I didn't have enough sense to choose one. Gave me kids that have been a blessing to me all of my life. Grandkids. Great church. Preach all over the country. We've got it good. And you get to thinking that somehow God owed it to you. You're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. By the way, I feel like I need to throw this in there. I sort of talk to the younger and the teens and usually aim it at the boys. I want to say this. When God says He'll dwell with the contrite and the humble and so on, and we know that Satan was kicked out of the third heaven because of pride. What was Satan? Why was Satan so proud? Because of his beauty. He won the first beauty contest ever. In this culture that we lived in, we're engrossed with it. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. 16:18, pride goeth before destruction. 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. 16:5, everyone that is of a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 6, the Lord hates a proud look. Hates it. I used to preach a message, this was literally over 30 years ago, called Six Things, yea, Seven Things the Lord Hates. And one of them is a proud look. And I would usually start the sermon by saying this. Can anyone show us what that is? Anybody willing to do it? Great. You're all doing real good. You ever seen a 16-year-old boy that's pretty sure of himself? That's a proud look. Can I tell you boys something, you young boys? When you see somebody that you think, boy, he's so full of himself. That's what others think of you. You don't want to have that image. You really don't want to have that heart. You know what Deuteronomy 28 tells us? It tells us, Deuteronomy 8 tells us that God led Israel for 40 years through the wilderness to humble them. To humble them. Exodus 10, God said this to Pharaoh, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? How long will you refuse to humble yourself? Romans 10 tells us that Israel tried to establish their own righteousness, Paul said, because they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They would not submit to His righteousness. Let me apply that to the lost. If you try to get to heaven any other way than by Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. You must submit to His righteousness. That's perfection. That's His Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. If you think you're good enough, you're going to land in hell with a lot of good people. They will not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. That's the application to the unsaved. Let me apply it to the saved. Swallow your pride and start living holy, godly lives instead of spending the rest of your days sitting at Cornerstone saying, well, I just don't see anything wrong with that music. I just don't think there's anything wrong with me watching those movies. Ain't nothing wrong with the way I dress. I don't care what Brother Ron says about nakedness. You're stinking proud. God didn't give you a pastor to tell you what you already knew. And He didn't give you parents to tell you that either. You better submit yourself to the righteousness of God, not your own. Amen. Since you're in 1 Peter, look at chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Everybody all right? Yes, sir. We all battle this. Yes, sir. Why should we obey what Peter says? Verse 13, 1 Peter 2. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Now tell me what the next phrase says. For the Lord's sake. That's all you need to know. Why should I submit to the authority God places over me, no matter who that is? For the Lord's sake. Pride is not going to help the cause of Christ. Pride is not going to help the work of God. Humility is somewhat of a prerequisite to serving God. I need to say this, and it's a little painful. But please hear me. Humility does not mean you have to pretend like you don't have any abilities or any skills or any talents. That's really false humility. People say, well, you know, I just don't have any ability. I really can't do anything. That's a form of pride. It's usually pride that fears being humiliated. The humble servant does not say, I can't do anything. The humble servant says, I will do anything. I'll mop floors. I'll take out the trash. I'll be a greeter at the door. I'll rake the potholes in the driveway going up to the mission house. I just want to do something for God. It doesn't say I can't do anything. It says I will do anything. The Bible says, if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing. Boy, isn't that a great verse? He deceiveth himself. So I preached a sermon, it was about 23 years ago, entitled, Who Do We Think We Are? When a man think himself to be, you fill in the blank, whatever that something is. When the Holy Spirit says he is nothing. Can I ask you something, saints, and especially us men. I don't know if I'm right about this, but I believe men struggle with this more than women. I believe boys struggle with it more than girls. And I believe young struggle with it more than old. Probably because the older we get, there ain't a whole lot we can be proud about. But I want to ask you a question. Who in the world do we think we are to say to God, no? Who do we think we are to say, I'm busy. Get somebody else. Why should I do that? Do you realize what it takes for somebody to reject the will of God? Please give me just another minute. Turn to Ephesians. I'll show you this. Let's contrast Galatians 6 with Ephesians 3, and I'm through. This will be it. Y'all are tired for some reason. This heat's working you over. You spent too much time in the park last night. Ephesians 3. You've got Galatians, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, but then you have Ephesians 3, verse 7. Paul says, whereof I was made a minister. Watch this. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Now you'd almost think that sounds arrogant. The gift of the grace of God given unto me. By the effectual working of His power. But then He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Do y'all see what He's... You see the real spirit of Paul's words? It's not, God chose me. It's God chose even me. That He even lets me serve Him. That He lets even me work for Him. He lets even me in on this thing. It's as if Paul is saying, can you believe it? The one who is less than the least. I love the way Paul describes himself. I'm the less than the least. So if you think you're more than the less than the least, you must think you're more than Apostle Paul. But he had humility. And this American self-esteem, self-exalting culture we live in is not helping our pride at all. It's only making it worse. Let's humble ourselves. So God can continue to show up at Cornerstone. Amen. Let's all stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. Hannah, if you'd come, please.